Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Katie Gillen with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the finance bill is set to be passed in the Dáil next Tuesday. The Taoiseach has confirmed all Irish peacekeepers are safe after their base in Lebanon was struck by a rocket. The families of those who died in the Creasa explosion say a public inquiry needs to be established, even if the Garda investigation is ongoing. And detectives in South Tyrone are appealing for information after a reported shooting incident in Coal Island. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher will have all the latest in sport at around 15:15. And we will have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore after the obituary notices. But first, the finance bill is set to be passed in the Dáil next Tuesday. The move paves the way for an election to be called next week. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
The finance bill, the last major piece of legislation to be agreed by this government, which gives effect to the budget, is set to pass all stages in the Dáil on Tuesday. The finance committee of the Dáil met this afternoon. It agreed that all stages would be taken on that Tuesday, would be guillotined by the government. And that means that the groundwork has effectively been laid for the election to be called next Thursday. The Taoiseach Simon Harris is due in Budapest for an informal European summit on the Friday. So it's seen as most likely the Thursday morning when a light Dáil agenda has been agreed. The Dáil will be dissolved. The Taoiseach will head to the park. The election will be called and the polling day will be set for the 29th of November.
Chief Executive of the Electoral Commission, Art O'Leary, is urging everyone to make sure they're registered to vote.
You may have moved address since the last time that you voted, so update your details as soon as you can. If you are a new voter or someone wanting to register for the first time, it takes less than 3 minutes. So go to checktheregister.ie, have your PPS number, your date of birth and your air code, and you'll be able to do it in the time that a kettle boils.
The Taoiseach has confirmed all Irish peacekeepers are safe after their base in Lebanon was struck by a rocket. It fell in an unoccupied part of Camp Shamrock yesterday after it was intercepted by Israel. Nobody was hurt in the incident at the camp where hundreds of Irish peacekeepers are based. Simon Harris says what happened is unacceptable.
It seems what happens is this, that a rocket was fired. That rocket was taken down by what they call the Iron Dome, and part of that rocket then fell on, thankfully, an unoccupied part of Camp Shamrock, home to our Irish peacekeepers. And thankfully nobody has been hurt or injured, and thankfully all our peacekeepers are accounted for and safe.
The families of those who died in the Creasa explosion say a public inquiry needs to be established, even if the Garda investigation is ongoing. They have been told it will be completed early next year. Representatives for the family say they feel a step closer to a conclusion after meeting the Justice Minister yesterday. Hugh Harper lost his daughter Leona in the 2022 blast. He says they have waited far too long for answers already.
We're coming to Halloween, one of Leona's favourite times of the year, and then coming to Christmas, where we'll have an empty chair again at the Christmas table, where we'll go and spend nearly all day at our graveside, to leave our graveside and go home without her again. I can't put a measurement on that to make everybody understand how that feels.
Speaking for the families after the meeting, Solicitor Dara Mackin asked if an inquiry would have taken so long if this had happened in Dublin rather than Creasa.
The question these families ask themselves is, had this happened in Dublin, would they be here 2 years later asking for an investigation? The key point of today is this. The Minister has not ruled anything out. We now look forward to an urgent decision, because the reality is this. Time is of the essence now. An election is pending. These families don't have time to give. They want the decision, and they want the decision now.
Detectives in South Tyrone are appealing for information after a reported shooting incident in Coal Island. They say shortly after 7 p.m. last night, they received a report that a man aged in his 40s had attended hospital with a suspected gunshot wound. He stated that while sitting in a vehicle in Coal Island, he was approached by two men who he believed to be local to the area. A suspected firearm was put through the window of his vehicle and he was shot to his arm. His injuries are not believed to be life-threatening or life-changing. The government's COVID review is under fire after Cabinet agreed yesterday to proceed with an evaluation rather than an inquiry. It means its chairperson and panel will not have the power to compel documents or witnesses. People who lost loved ones during the pandemic have spoken out about their deep disappointment, saying they have a lot of unanswered questions in the wake of their relatives' deaths. Pat Coyle, who lost his wife Veronica in Ballynoe Nursing Home in Cork in February 2021, says an evaluation is not good enough.
We need a statutory public inquiry into what happened during COVID. There's so much to be explained and we need learning. We need to be able to move forward and the safe knowledge that people are going to be protected. We need a care partner put in place. But at the moment, what the government want to put in place is not acceptable to families. It doesn't answer anything.
A large quantity of drugs, cash and illegal fireworks were seized by police in Derry yesterday. Police were conducting a search in the Eglinton area when quantities of suspected cocaine, cannabis, diazepam and pregabalin, along with a sum of cash and illegal fireworks were found. The total street value for the seized drugs is estimated to be approximately £34,000. Police are urging anyone who has information or concerns around drugs in their community to contact them on 101. The Green Party has confirmed Dr. Nuala Carr as their Donegal candidate for the general election. Michael White, chairperson of the Donegal Green Party, says her candidacy supports the party's national drive for gender balance among candidates and representatives. In a statement, Dr. Carr says it would be a privilege to represent the people of Donegal. Meanwhile, the former chair Fine Gael in Letterkenny has resigned from the party and says he will contest the forthcoming general election as an independent. Frank O'Donnell told Highland Radio News he had become disillusioned after raising a number of Donegal issues with party HQ without receiving a satisfactory response. He says he believes he can be a strong voice for the county.
I felt disillusioned, though, because I'm very involved in politics. I was raising concerns on different matters pertaining to Donegal. And I was getting actually no feedback from headquarters. So I was making a decision. Maybe I should just go ahead and raise these matters myself in a national arena. So I decided to resign from the party and put myself forward as an independent candidate.
We know that Fine Gael in Donegal is going through transition, Joe McHugh not standing for re-election, Nicky Bradley and John McNulty, the two chosen candidates by the party. You're leaving at this point and running as an independent. Is that something that potentially is going to damage the party's chances of getting back into Dáil Éireann with one, not to mention two seats?
I can't speak any longer for Fine Gael. I only can speak for myself. I'd like to be the voice in Dáil Éireann for Donegal. I didn't set out to do any damage to former colleagues of mine in the party. I just made a conscientious decision to leave the party and I seek election from the people of Donegal. I think I would be a strong voice for Donegal and Dáil Éireann.
Is there an insinuation in that decision that you don't believe that the other candidates would have been as strong a voice for Donegal as you would like to see expressed?
I don't like comment on candidates or putting their name on the ballot paper. I can only speak for myself.
Retiring TDs are set to cost the taxpayer at least €3.9 million in exit payments and pension costs in the 12 months after the Dáil is dissolved. The figures come from a report by the Journal Investigates, which looked at what each of the 29 current deputies who will not stand in the next election will be entitled to. Of those, 20 are not at retirement age and are due to receive exit lump sums worth almost €19,000 each before tax when the Dáil is dissolved. Author of the report, Stephen McDermott, explains the breakdown of the figures.
Some of them who are serving for a shorter amount of time get 6 months worth of payments, and a couple of the guys who've been there for longer get 12 months. And there's also around €1.5 million in retirement lump sums. So the TDs who are retiring and can't claim exit payments because they're too old to do that, but they immediately get a pension, will also get €1.5 million in a lump sum as well.
Donegal TD Joe McHugh, an independent who previously held the Fine Gael whip, is expected to receive a lump sum of €175,000 and an annual pension of just over €70,500. Full details on this can be found on our website, highlandradio.com. A Donegal deputy is calling for a new specialised family law court system. Deputy Thomas Pringle told a recent Dáil debate on the Family Courts Bill 2022 that frontline court staff believe the current system does not best support the broader needs of families. Deputy Pringle says it's imperative those engaging with the judicial system feel safe, supported and heard, and while he supports the bill in principle, there's one element which is causing concern.
I would like also as well to echo the concerns that some NGOs have in regard to this legislation. This is in relation to the Alternative Dispute Resolution, ADRs, and I tend to agree that there is something very difficult about this for women and children, because it is mainly women, that we need to find a way to protect them, and I would urge the Minister to use whatever amending power there is to do that, While the ADR process is positive in terms of reducing costs and making the system more accessible, that can't be at the expense of safety for, in some cases, particularly cases where there is domestic violence. And I know that, Minister, in your own speech you do say where domestic violence may be an issue and where alternative dispute mechanisms would not be appropriate, you would minimise the risk and you intend to minimise the risk. I just don't see in the actual legislation where those parts are and how that risk will be minimised, and I think that's vitally important, Minister. One of the concerns is that how... Because as has been outlined by previous members, it is daunting for people to go into courts and go into the court system because they're not familiar with it and it's not something they're used to. But then for somebody in an abuse situation or in a situation where they're under threat from their ex-partner, that can be an even more daunting situation. And to make sure that the proper mechanisms are used for dealing with those cases where that protection can be in place, I think is vitally important as well. So, and so I would just like to say that I welcome the legislation.
A male pedestrian in his 30s was injured last night when he was struck by a hit-and-run driver on the Madams Bank Road in Derry. Donal Kavanagh has this report.
Police say at around 10:15 last night they received reports that the man had been struck by a red Astra. The pedestrian was treated at the scene by the ambulance service. His injuries are non-life-threatening. The red Astra was later discovered abandoned in the Ringford Road area. The road was closed for a time between the Madams Bank and Lengalia roundabouts, but reopened in the early hours of this morning. Police say their inquiries are continuing. They're urging anyone with information or with dashcam or other footage to come forward.
Halloween is underway, with thousands expected to take to the streets in Derry and Strabane tonight as Europe's biggest Halloween festival reaches its climax. Events are also taking place in Letterkenny and other towns across Donegal. Nationally, people are being urged to enjoy themselves but also to ensure that those around them are safe. Belle Finn has more.
Being the birthplace of Halloween, all across the country, participants dressed as ghouls, witches and vampires are celebrating the ancient festivities. While this is usually the evening to keep things spooky, the Dublin Fire Brigade is warning the public that bonfires and fireworks can do more damage than just a fright. Firefighter and paramedic Jordan Manning says the physical dangers around bonfires can be unpredictable.
Big fires, they can start off absolutely fine, but as the timber burns, they become unstable and they can fall and go any direction.
Gardaí have also issued a reminder that interacting or possessing illegal fireworks could result in a €10,000 fine or 5 years imprisonment. Inspector Kieran Noonan from the Garda National Community Engagement Bureau says the night should be fun and safe.
For people's own personal safety, the best thing to do with fireworks is to stay away from them.
While we might enjoy the odd playful scare, pets certainly don't. Paul Halpin from the Irish Blue Cross is encouraging pet owners to do what they can to comfort pets through stressful, loud noises.
And always keep your dog on a short lead, so if they are frightened by any loud or unexpected noises, they can't run away.
Hopefully all that hasn't spooked you too much. And with that, Iha Hauna Hona Dive.
The time is 12 minutes past five. We'll be back after this short break. The time is 16 minutes past five. Mark is here with all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Kitty. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. And Ruben Amorim says he'll clarify his future tomorrow night as Manchester United continue talks with Sporting about making him their new manager. He'll be in charge of Sporting for their match in the Portuguese League tomorrow and is unlikely to be in United's dugout until after the international break. The Premier League club are set to pay the release clause in his contract, which contains a 30-day notice period to the Portuguese champions. Amorim remained tight-lipped at his pre-match press conference earlier this afternoon.
It's a negotiation between two clubs. It's never easy, even with the clauses. It's never easy. They have to talk. We will have clarification after the game. It will be very clear. So it's one more day after the game tomorrow. We will have the decision made.
Shelburne manager Damien Duff says his team are highly focused ahead of potentially being crowned League of Ireland champions for the first time in 18 years tomorrow. Shells can seal the title with victory away to Derry, but any slip-up would open the door for Shamrock Rovers to retain their crown with a home win over Waterford. Derry's title run ended with a 1-0 loss to St Pat's last week, and they have an FAI Cup final against Drogheda on Sunday week. Duff says his team are focused on their own performance rather than the host's motivation levels.
It'd be a good idea, obviously, of what they'll do, but outside of that, I'm not going to waste energy on what type of energy or what type of reaction they're going to bring or what's their mindset of the players, of the staff, of their fans, because it's time wasted. So it's all been about us after that.
In Gaelic games, Donegal's Pádraig Mógán and Oisín Gallan are among 14 first-time recipients that have made this year's GAA Football All-Star team. The St Nolls and McCool's clubmen played a big role in helping Jim McGuinness's Donegal win the Ulster title and progress to a semi-final spot in this year's All-Ireland Championship. Tyrone goalkeeper Niall Morgan is the only previous winner on the selection, which contains 11 players from All-Ireland finalists Armagh and Galway. St Union's Kieran Moore, who had an impressive debut season at senior level with Donegal, is in the running for Young Footballer of the Year, along with Armagh's Oisín Conaty and Galway's Johnny McGrath. Those award winners will be announced at Friday's ceremony at the RDS in Dublin. In golf, Leona Maguire has signed for a 3-under-par opening round of 69 at the Japan Classic. That leaves the Cavan golfer 6 shots behind leader Hana Wakimoto. In horse racing, the John Shark Hanlon-trained Hewick was one of 5 horses declared this morning for Saturday's first Grade 1 race of the national hunt season, the Ladbrokes Champion Chase at Down Royal. Hewick has become a real star of the jumping game, winning a King George Chase, a Galway Plate and an American Grand National. And trainer Hanlon is delighted with his form heading into the weekend.
Yeah, Hewick, great form, done his bit of work yesterday in the Curragh and couldn't be happier with him. He seems to be in great form. John Gainford rides him. Tough race, not going to be a big field, but going to be a good race. So we're hoping for the best. Maybe after Saturday, then he might go to Haydock in a couple of weeks' time. But for one day at a time, I'm hoping to have a big run on Saturday.
In boxing, Cathal McLaughlin was scheduled to return to action at the SSE Arena in Belfast tomorrow night, but his bout has now been cancelled due to problems with his opponent. The Strabane man, who came through the amateur ranks with Rafoe Boxing Club, was due to take on Newry's Alan White in what would have been his second professional fight. And finally, on the score this evening, we'll look ahead to the Ulster club action for Donegal clubs this weekend. We'll hear from the managers of St Union's, Terman and Niamh Patrick Muff, who all begin their provincial campaigns on Saturday. Aidan Fitzmaurice of the Sunday Independent will take a look at the SSE Airtricity League Premier Division title running, while we'll speak with Fintown Harps manager Paddy Molloy, who's hoping for another giant-killing performance in the FAI Junior Cup on Saturday. That's all coming up on the Score programme after the 7 o'clock news this evening. Back to you, Kitty.
Thanks, Mark. And now for the weather. Today will be mostly cloudy and dry with one or two sunny breaks. A few spots of rain, drizzle and mist about 2. High temperatures of 13 or 14 degrees. Tonight will be mostly cloudy with patches of drizzle and mist. Lowest temperatures of 8 to 10 degrees. To conclude this evening's bulletin, the finance bill is set to be passed in the Dáil next Tuesday. The move paves the way for an election to be called next week. The Taoiseach has confirmed all Irish peacekeepers are safe after their base in Lebanon was struck by a rocket. It fell in an unoccupied part of Camp Shamrock yesterday after it was intercepted by Israel. The families of those who died in the Creusa explosion say a public inquiry needs to be established, even if the Garda investigation is ongoing. They have been told the Garda investigation into the explosion will be completed early next year. And detectives in South Tyrone are appealing for information after a reported shooting incident in Coal Island. They say shortly after 7 o'clock last night, they received a report that a man aged in his 40s had attended hospital with a suspected gunshot wound. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back with headlines at 6 o'clock. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, October 31st. The death has occurred of Mary Jo Murren, Key Road, Dunloe. Her remains are reposing at McGlynn's funeral home this evening with rosary at 9 o'clock. She is reposing at her own home from 5 o'clock tomorrow with rosary at 8 o'clock. Funeral mass on Saturday at 12 noon in St. Cronus Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Anne Kelly, Nee Glacken, 7 Wolfe Tone Place, Letterkenny, reposing at her late residence until 10 o'clock tonight and tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St. Union's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with burial afterwards in the family plot in Cornwall Cemetery. Funeral mass can be viewed at stunionscathedral.ie. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Bernie Wursky, Nee Clancy, Carowan Burt, and formerly of Hollymount House, Glenboy Manor Hamilton, County Leitrim, reposing at the Chapel of Rest, Manor Hamilton, until 8 o'clock this evening, reposing at her late residence at Carowan Burt from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Removal from there on Saturday afternoon at 1:15 to St. Angus's Church, Burt, for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed on Church Services TV. Family time plays from 11 p.m. tomorrow night and before the funeral on Saturday. Family flowers only please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice care of any family member. The death has taken place of Angela Benson, to the Glebe Stranorler, and formerly of Ballas O'Dare, Sligo. Angela's remains will repose at McGowan's funeral home, Drumbo Avenue, Stranorler, this evening from 6 o'clock until rosary at 9 o'clock. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:45 to arrive at the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorler for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery, Stranorler. House strictly private at all times, please. Flowers welcome, donations in lieu of flowers if desired to Twin Towns Lost and Found Dogs, care of any family member, or McGowan's funeral home. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on Church Services TV. The death has occurred of PJ Gallagher, Mullandraith, Stranorler. Remains reposing at McCool's Chapel of Rest, Ballybuffet, this evening and tomorrow from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock, with rosary both nights at 9 o'clock. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorler at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Drumbo Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on Church Services TV. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, directly to the Donegal Hospice, Letterkenny, or care of any family member. The death has taken place of Damien McClay, 2 Tamworth Grove, Newton Kennedy Street, Strabane, and formerly of Carlton Drive, Strabane, reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in St Patrick's Cemetery, Murlough, Lifford. Family time please from 10 p.m. tonight. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Kevin Falconer, 1A Gortgrana Road, Newton Stewart. Kevin's remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning, leaving at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass at St Eugene's Church, Glenoch, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 11 o'clock tonight. The death has taken place of Maria Malloy, Loch Fad, Portneau. Her remains are reposing at Chuvlin's Funeral Home, Sandfield, until 8 o'clock tonight. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to St Connell's Church, Kilclooney, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu, if desired, to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Mary Grace Hun, Nee Boyle, Hochstad, Germany, formerly of Dunlow. Funeral will take place in Germany on Friday fortnight, November 15th, with funeral mass at 1 o'clock in Hochstad, followed by burial in the local cemetery. The death has taken place of Eamon McCarthy, Lucan, Dublin, and formerly of Malinhead, reposing at Cunningham's Funeral Home, Lucan, tomorrow evening between 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Removal on Saturday morning to Newlands Cross Crematorium for a celebration of Eamon's life at 10 o'clock. Eamon's funeral service may be viewed on dctrust.ie. Family flowers only please, donations if desired, to the Irish Lung Fibrosis Association. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, I'll be speaking to one of the new presenters of RTE's Ear to the Ground programme, and he's from Donegal. But first, a reminder that the Suckler Marts Roadshow, organised by Progressive Genetics and the Irish Farmers Journal, is at Milford Mart this evening from 7 o'clock. Topics will include animal health, trade, schemes, feed and the market outlook. There will be a live demonstration of Progressive Genetics sired progeny and the launch of Progressive Genetics' new beef suckler catalogue. Well, one of RTE Television's longest running and most popular programmes returns to our screens this evening. Ear to the Ground, the hugely popular farming and rural affairs show, is on RTE1 at 7 o'clock, and there'll be added Donegal interest insofar as there's a new presenter. Newton Cunningham tillage farmer Stephen Robb is the new face and will join returning presenters Darren McCullough and Ella McSweeney. Well, Stephen is no stranger to listeners of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio and is renewables editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, Stephen, certainly another string to your bow. Many congratulations. So tell us, how did this all come about? Was it something you'd been hoping to do for quite a while?
Well, thank you very much, Chris. Good to be on again. Yeah, look, it's certainly a change in a way, so it is. And we're set there tonight, so I'm looking forward to really getting stuck into it. But I guess, how did it come about? Well, I suppose I would have been on the show once or twice in the past, you know, in my capacity in the Farmers Journal, you know, of which I'm still, you know, that's still my bread and butter. It's such a still the main job, if you get me. But whenever the opportunity came up to apply for the job as such thing, I asked if I would be interested in applying or if it was something I'd be interested in, and I said, yeah, I would surely. It's incredibly popular show, so it is, and it's one of the most, as you said, long-standing agricultural shows in the country, so it's an absolute honour, so it would have been to get on to it. So I applied for it, not really thinking that I would get it. The competition was fairly tight, I believe, but after the interview and screen test, sure enough, it was offered, and I'm still can't really believe it, to be honest with you, Chris.
Yeah. Now, it's hard to believe also. It's actually the 32nd season that it's been going, so well established. So the first episode is airing tonight. You're focusing on fodder, and you've been to Tipperary.
Yes, absolutely. So first show is kicking off this evening, and I suppose my segment in the episode is focusing on fodder. So around the country, maybe it's not as acute up here in Donegal, but certainly in parts of the south, there's a real fodder shortage taking place on farms at the moment off the back of a really, really poor growing year. So we wanted to try and highlight that. So I visited a number of farms who were just finding it tight to, I suppose, keep their stock as is. One farmer had to adjust the stock numbers as a result of lack of fodder on the farm, and another one who we visited, he normally would have about 300 tonnes or so in a pit, which he would use for winter feeding, and it was all gone by the time that we were filming, so, which was a few weeks ago. So, you know, it's a real problem, it's a real issue, but I think that's part of the job of Ear to the Ground is to get down and show this and highlight these issues that farmers are facing on the ground, and that was a particularly important one, I thought.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot more than meets the eye with regard to putting a programme like this together. So, you know, you went down to Tipperary, you do the filming there. You have to go back to the studio. It's put together. There's clips cut. And you might end up with a segment on the programme, might be 7 or 8 minutes. But there's literally hours of shooting taking place and different angles. That in itself is a fascinating process.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And in fairness, I probably didn't realise just the amount of time and the amount of effort that goes into producing, you know, every single episode. You know, we could be down on site with a farmer at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we mightn't leave until, you know, 5 o'clock that evening until we kind of have what we need. And that would be the case, especially if we're following a couple of farmers or visiting a couple of farmers. And then there's a day or two of editing involved in that, and then there's probably a day or two of research involved before that, between the research team who work on the show. So it's a huge effort, but certainly from my point of view, it's been really interesting. Like my journalistic background will be in the paper of the Farmers Journal, which is a wholly different process altogether, and it's probably, you know, probably a bit faster, so it is. It's been a really good insight so far. We have a number of episodes recorded ahead of ourselves. We actually can't give too much away just yet, but we're in Donegal next week, so we are visiting a farmer up here for the day.
And what way does it work with regard to planning ahead for future programmes? I take it, you know, a team of you sit down, or maybe it's done online, and you're looking ahead, because obviously you're filling out dates in the diary, and a lot of this is recorded weeks and even months in advance, so there's a lot of planning here.
Yeah, that's it. So I guess we would have our editorial meetings, so we would once a month, in which we would try to decide what what stories we're going to cover. And, you know, there's a range of stories which we'll cover, which so it could be focusing on maybe a topical issue. Another one or another angle might be following a farmer for the day, or maybe following someone in the trade for the day. We try to do it from different angles as such, but yeah, like you could have a story recorded easily a month in advance of it going to air, maybe even longer. So right now we're planning stories for December. We're planning stories for January as well. So that's kind of how far we work in advance. But you know, there's a really good team working on the show. But then we have the other presenters as well, Darren McCullough and Sweeney, and she, between the three of us, like, we kind of come up with our own ideas for stories as well, because we're all journalists and most of us are farmers as well, so we have a good idea of what's happening on the ground, we have a good idea of what's topical, and what are the issues that farmers are facing. And it's not just farmers as well, it's rural Ireland, and that's the whole premise of the show, so we could very well be covering an issue which is not directly related to farming, but is, you know, very relevant to rural Ireland. So, yeah, look, there's quite a broad spectrum of stories which we'll all be doing.
Now, just before I let you go, putting on your renewables editor hat, anything of note coming down the track?
Look, I suppose the renewables industry is moving, and I guess we're actually seeing a lot of attention being focused at the moment. I've done an awful lot of interviews on it over the past kind of couple of weeks or so. It was on the area of solar farms. And we would have talked, Chris, about solar farms quite often on your programme with you. Not so much a feature up here in Donegal. Our strength is wind, not sun. But in the south, there's a real solar farm boom happening all along the kind of eastern, southern, midlands area. So this has been happening now for, you know, 3+ years. But I guess the first wave of these projects are actually being built. So people are actually seeing them happen, actually seeing them being built, and can see what they look like, which makes them more aware whenever they hear of a solar farm being planned for their area. And there's a lot of people, a lot of farmers, really pro solar farms, but there's a growing sense of anger and unease at both community, farmer, and political level as well. I think it's only going to escalate from here on as more and more of these projects get built. So it's going to be a real hot topic, or a real area to watch going forward.
And that was Stephen Robb. In other news, there's a huge variation in TB testing charges across the country. An Irish Farmers Journal survey has revealed the average TB testing cost for farmers surveyed in Connacht was €6.66 a head based on a 50-animal herd, but that was 20% higher than the average prices paid by farmers in Leinster. Also this week, it's emerged that Taoiseach Simon Harris is to create and lead a cabinet committee on water quality to steer a national effort to retain the nitrates derogation. Meanwhile, a new Teagasc sustainability report has found that the number of farms classed as unviable or vulnerable hit record levels in 2023. The report showed that just 27% of farms were deemed economically viable last year. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.